Hi, welcome to Dear Nikki. My name is Nikki, and if you've been here before, welcome back. And if you're new to the show, this show is all about sex and the fantasies that people have. Reading from emails directly and anonymously sent to me, together we explore the experiences of everyday people, just like yourself. You never know who I could be reading from. I could be reading from the couple that you saw at the gas station this weekend. They're on their way to their first swinger party and maybe have sex with a couple of people. I could be reading from a man that you saw at work. He carried his travel bag into work because his partner was picking him up so they could go to a sex commune. I could be reading from a woman who has an orgy house, just for women, of course, because she likes to celebrate the lesbiciousness that excites her. You just never, ever know. And if you have any erotic confessions, fantasies, or really anything else, feel free to send them to Nikki at Nikki at DearNikki.com or anonymously through the website at DearNikki.com under the Confessions tab. Just remember, by submitting a confession, question, or really anything else, you certify the following are true. You are the sole creator of the submission. You're 18 years of age or older, legally able to write, submit erotic or pornographic material. Stories including bestiality, incest, incest fantasies, underage role play, rape sex, rape fantasies, or other non-consensual content or racial slurs will not be aired. We reserve the right to change names or other identifiable information, and you're releasing all rights to your creation. Okay, little bit of news that I fought so hard not to do is I'm not going to Chicago. There's an emergency that has come up that's why for the late drop, everything else. And again, I apologize for that, but there's things that are happening right now that is beyond my control. Nothing to worry about earth shattering. Just to let you know, I'm not going to Chicago, but I'm still going to be at Wichita. So for those of you that are going to be there, Bex will still be there for me. So you can stop by and say hi. I know Cole and Miss Amanda have a booth as well, so there'll be some representation there, but just not me. But I will be in Wichita, so Wichita, if you're going, I will be there. So Darcy, the other day, and I were talking about porn and how we watch porn. I'm the fast-forward type. I have no patience. Get me right to the good shit. And I'm kind of that way with TV, like mainstream TV and movies. You have to get me within the first maybe 15 minutes of curiosity. Curiosity Killed the Cat. TV show, like under 30, 45 minutes. It's got to be within the first 10 minutes or I'm out. Him? No. And here's an example, okay? So when I was on the lines, this one guy would call and there was three pornos that he loved to watch. And it seemed like we always end up landing on this one. We'd edge to the others and come back to this one. And it was a gay porno, but it was about two guys. One of them would hitchhike. So I knew it by heart, but so sometimes Darcy and I talk about what I used to do and what I used to talk about and stuff like that, kind of like I do with you guys. Well, I showed him the porn so he could see it. And he goes, in this particular porn, and I think I've told this story before and not in this much detail, but so this porn starts off and this guy's just hitchhiking and him and I were watching it. We were having kind of like a movie science theater 3000, repertoire going on. And his first thing was like, I wonder if those cars driving by know they're in a porno. And I'm like, see me? I would have been like, okay, fast forward. And not him. No, he likes to know the whole scene of a porno or any movie. He likes to know the whole thing. So do you, because that's not something, and I consider myself pretty witty. That's something that wouldn't have, maybe, it's not something that would have popped in my head, let's be honest. Maybe, I don't know, I keep going back and forth. But it made me laugh that he said, look, I wonder, so like in a porno when you're out in live action woods and there's cars driving by, kind of like the fake taxis and stuff like that, and they pass by all these cars. Do you think they realize they're in a porno? Could you imagine being in your car and seeing like the fake taxis or the people that offer the other people money and then they kind of like do a fake twist with it. You know, I can't think of the name of it, but if you've watched porno, you've seen the cheeky ones where they get this person in the vehicle for something of money. Well, they end up having sex with the same sex. And sometimes just the girl that actually, or the person that actually attracts them into the van to begin with. So my question is to you, if and when you watch porn or anything else, do you fast forward to the good parts? I do, because I'm usually only watching it when I masturbate, and sometimes I don't need porn, but there's sometimes I do. And just get me to the thrusting. I need a good hard thrusting porn. Just saying, that's me. Or I need a really good, you know, but it can't be the cheeky ones. I tend to go vintage, just saying. But I'd really like to know what you guys think. How do you watch your porn? If you watch porn, do you fast forward to the good details? Or are you like Darcy, start from the beginning and have cheeky comments throughout? Just a question. I'd really like to know. You know what time it is. It's time to sit back, relax, let's have a whiskey, with some filthy cherries, of course, and explore some erotic fantasies from people just like you and me. Dear Nikki, this story every queer girl has. In my case, it's about my favorite waitress who confused the hell out of me. For months when I was young, I'd stop by this cafe after work to wrap up for the day. I could only be in the office for so long, and would finish up research while I ate dinner in my favorite spot. I always had the same waitress who was adorable. She would always slip me an extra cup of coffee when I was billing, and then bring me a glass of wine at the end of my day. We never talked much, but she was a precious soul I started to look forward to seeing. I'm going to be honest. I thought maybe she was nice to me because I tipped well. One day, she grabs my check, turns to leave, and looks back at me. "Do you smoke? Like cigarettes?" I ask. "No." "Then yes." She looks horrified, but asks if I want to smoke with her in the back of the restaurant, and I accept. To pause, I learned a long time ago not to assume anything about someone's identity. I generally wait for the woman to hit on me. When we get to the back of the restaurant, this girl lights up and announces she doesn't have much left. "Can we shotgun?" she asks. Sure. She puts her mouth to mine and blows smoke into me. I smile, and I let it out, and then we repeat the process. "Do you want to hang out sometime?" she asks. "Like, not where I work?" "Oh, cool." She's interested in me. We plan to meet up the Friday. The problem is I show up and there's a group of folks around her. So this isn't a date. I mean, she's lovely and all. Her friends are cool and I have a nice time. But she seems into this other dude. And I decide it's time for me to go home after a couple of drinks. I bid them all goodbye and start heading for the door. "Wait," she calls. "You're leaving?" "Yeah, I'm a little tired, and it's been a long week." "You wouldn't want to keep hanging out, would you?" "I'd invite you to my place, but it's a mess." "We could go to a different bar, or..." "My place," I interrupt. "I live around the corner." She's definitely interested in me. "Great." She then proceeds to grab two of her friends to join us. She's not interested in me. We get back to my place, and it's fine. Her female friend is sweet, but the dude I suspect she's interested in is a little weird and slightly sexist. I smile and shrug him off, but eventually decide this isn't for me. So I do what any queer girl does when the polite straight girl she likes is canoodling with the dude. I pour myself a drink and offer to make everyone cocktails. She comes into the kitchen to help me. "It's so nice you have all of us over like this," she smiles. "No problem," I answer politely. "I still haven't gotten the full tour. Where's your bedroom?" Is she interested in me? Yeah, it's right this way. I showed her my bedroom and wait for her to make the first move. She does sit on my bed, but it isn't exactly being flirtatious. "So you and that guy?" "Oh, he's such an asshole," she laughs. "Not really my type. Or taste." She's interested in me. "What's your type?" "Really masculine." She's not into me. With men, anyway. She's interested in me. Although I guess I don't know if I really have a type or taste, because I'm bad at dating. And I don't know what I'm doing. What the fuck's happening? I nod politely and try to think of how to respond. "So, like, you still want cocktails, or what?" She told me she'd rather smoke and shotguns into my mouth again. "Yes," she's interested. "We should go back out to my date," she says. She's definitely not interested in me. I'm tired of the whiplash at this point, so I literally change into sweatpants before settling back into my living room with the three of them. It's still fun because they're a good crew. But I'm definitely not getting laid, and it starts getting late. So I bring up the fact that I'm bisexual at one point, which her date finds hilarious. I love it when my sexual identity is funny to folks. So men still date you, knowing you've licked pussy, he asked me. So this is fun. They finally head out and I collapse on my couch and judge my life decisions. Suddenly, I hear a small knock on the door. When I open it, she's standing there. I forgot something, she says. Is this bitch interested in me? Surely not. I motion for her to enter, and on her way, she throws herself at me. She only kisses me once, but wraps her arms around my neck and rears her head back to look at me. I'm confused, I finally say. I'm not gay. Wow, that guy is my boyfriend. Okay, but I'm really drawn to you. What do I say to this girl? What's happening right now, I ask. Do you like me? Is that one-sided? Probably not if you hadn't brought your boyfriend in my house. We stare at each other for a bit, and then I give in. I kiss her back and push her against my wall, finally closing the door. I put my hand on her hip and then slowly circle the bottom of her shirt. I finally move one hand to grab her ass and the other her breast. She just keeps playing with my hair and starts moaning when my hand starts moving back and forth. Want to go to my room? I ask. No, my boyfriend's downstairs. What the actual fuck? So he thinks you're looking for my phone. Can I call you, though? No. Well, maybe. Why exactly would you be calling me? To hang out. I'm going to need you to be more specific. Like, date. Will your boyfriend be there? She looks nervous. Sorry about that. He just joined without asking. It seems like you have a lot going on. Want to call me when you have some things figured out? She throws herself at me, and this time we fall to the floor. She climbs on top of me and straddles me. We make out for a while, and then she rears her head back. Are you okay? I ask. Yes, I've never done this. Oh, good God, I don't care if someone is inexperienced, but have a small problem with women experimenting with me while her boyfriend is in my lobby. I think you should leave. Can I finger you really quick? I just have to know. Know what? If I'm into it. I don't know how I feel about you experimenting with my vagina. Please. I huff and tug my shorts off until they're at my knees, and then I let her pull my underwear down. When I spread my legs, I let her put a finger in me and moan slightly at the sensation. She goes in and out and puts in another. At this point, the physical sensation is taking over. I let my head fall back as she plays. Stop, I finally say. Why? She looks horrified. I grab her hands and sit up to meet her. Because I'm going to fuck you if you keep going, and your boyfriend is in the lobby. She looks wide-eyed and terrified. I think I'm attracted to you. Take some time to figure it out, and call me. In the end, by the time she did, I was in with someone, but she was married to a woman now. Sandra. Hello, Sandra. I am completely sorry that this happened. I mean, I'm glad maybe that it opened her eyes that she's into sexploration and seeing where things can go possibly with somebody else she gets connected with, another woman. But that's where reading your story, I got to reflecting back on when I was experimenting years ago. And I was very clear from the beginning. So there were no doubts that, you know, if I met a gentleman and then he piqued my interest, I was going to go out on a date with him. I was curious. So there was no illusion, but I can see the point where she's maybe hesitant and struggling with her thoughts of the desire and things like that. But to be so hot and cold, you know, I can understand that as well. And, you know, but when you are approaching a desire that is not what we deem normal, let's say that, we have to take a step back because the person that we're exploring it with, especially if it's a stranger that you just met or anything else, we have to be careful in that fine line there. If it's just an experimentation, we need to find a way to be clear about that context. Look, I'm really attracted to you and I know you're into this, but I'm curious about it, but I'm attracted to you or I feel safe with you to try this. You know, no strings, but would you mind? I would like to try with you. And you know what? If it grows from something from there, so be it. And if not, then that's okay too. At least you found a safe place, a safe ground to explore your desires with a willing, consensual partner. So what do you think about that? Dear Nikki, hello, it's Rose again. Thank you for your wonderful comments on my first submission. I'd love to have coffee with you one day if I'm ever out your way. For now, though, it's time to hear more of my adventures with my delicious former student, you asked. It's been 7 months of absolute lust and ecstasy since I reconnected with Michael. I'm still addicted to his magnificent cock and gorgeous body, as I was on that luscious day we bumped into each other at the supermarket. I have no idea how this young Adonis knows how to play my body like a Stradivarius, but he does. His sense of my inner desires and needs far exceeds his years. I am so thankful for that. I've always sensed there was something inside me that needed more sexually than any man had ever given me, and somehow, my gorgeous formal pupil knew this. He loves me in a dress or a skirt. He told me early on in our amorous entanglement that I was forbidden to wear panties when wearing a dress or skirt, and that I should do so when appropriate in his presence. I felt drawn to obey my exquisite young stud. This afforded us many discreet, erotic, but not so private moments, and I adored it. We met somewhere one weekend about 3 months after our first time together, back when he was on leave. Our flights arrived around the same time, and we met in the arrival area of the airport. We jumped in a cab and commenced our ride to the hotel about 45 minutes away. I'd learned up to this point that Michael had a way of setting the tone for our meetups. It was always fun, highly erotic, and never disappointing, as again, I was about to discover. I held his beautiful strong arm, and his hand rested on my thigh. In the darkness of the night, he kissed me and discreetly slid his hand up my thigh until I felt Michael touch my pantyless pussy. Good girl. You obeyed the rules. You'll be rewarded, my sweet, beautiful rose. Michael whispered in my ear and softly kissed my cheek. I was tingling, and my pussy was saturated. I wanted him desperately. As my hands held the beautiful muscular arm he fingered me with, I whispered to my young lover, "What have you done to me, baby? I feel like you freed me something inside me, but I don't know what it is, but I know it's always been there." "I think you know what it is, Rose," Michael whispered. "It's your inner slut," he said. "Yes," I replied. "I'm a slut," I proclaimed softly. "No, my beautiful Rose," Michael replied. "You're my slut. Big difference," my younger lover asserted. "Always remember these words, Rose," Michael whispered in my ear. "Just because you're my slut doesn't make you a slut." "Yes, baby," I whispered in his ear as he gently rubbed my silky pussy. I was so excited at him sharing this revelation to me that deep inside I've always somehow known it made sense to me, and I loved it. I still do. Michael then said softly, "You know, there are rules for this you need to know." "What are they, baby?" I replied. "A slut must have an owner," he said. "Michael, you've owned me since that moment you turned around to look back in the supermarket. You know that, baby," I responded. "Do you think it's appropriate for a slut to call her owner by name or baby?" he asked me. "No. Should I call you sir?" I asked. Michael shook his head. "Master," I said with a smile. He nodded with a very cheeky smile. "You're driving me wild touching my pussy, master," I whispered. "Ladies have pussies. What do sluts have, Rose?" "Cunts, master," I said, with an even cheekier smile. My master nodded with a grin. "What are the other rules, master?" I asked softly. "A slut must always be naked behind closed doors for her owner, and she can never come without permission," Michael whispered. "Yes, master," I happily agreed. We then arrived at the hotel. After checking in, we took a lift to our room's floor. He carried our bags, and as we walked down the corridor, I said, "Unzip me, master." He did as requested, and I opened the door, stepped in, dropping my dress to the floor, and stepping out of it, and walked further into the room, removing my bra and throwing it on the floor. Michael entered the room, put the bags down, and picked up my dress, neatly laying it over the chair back. He looked at me, smiled, and said, "My beautiful slut learns quickly." "Yes, master," I nodded. His gorgeous cock was bulging in his jeans. I was so horny. Michael removed his shirt, and I stepped forward and dropped to my knees. I undid his jeans and freed my lover's magnificent cock. "Show me how my slut sucks cock," my master ordered. I kissed the head and took his rock-hard dick in my mouth. Suddenly, I knew I was in my happy place, on my beautiful young man's cock. I sucked, licked, and slobbered all over the divine example of manhood, and he groaned in approval. I took his cock as deep as I could in my mouth, and he gently took my head in his hands and slowly started fucking my mouth. I loved it. I gagged a few times and he released me, but I came back for more. He told me how amazing his sexy, beautiful slut was, then took me to the bed. Michael laid me on my back with my head over the edge in the bed and put his cock back in my mouth. He fucked my mouth again, going deeper. I never had a cock so far down my throat before. At that moment, nothing else existed in my mind except my master's magnificent cock. It was all I wanted. He then stood up, kissed me passionately. Slobbered covered my mouth and all. Then he led me to the desk in the room lifted my leg to rest on it, held myself up with outstretched arms. Michael knelt behind me and started licking my pussy. "Does your slut's cunt taste good, Master?" I asked. "Delicious, my beautiful slut," Michael replied. Then I felt his tongue licking my ass. It first for me, and it felt amazing. "Lick your whore's ass, Master, please," I called out. He massaged my clit as his tongue explored my ass. It was again ecstasy. "Can I come, please, Master? I need to," I pleaded. "Yes, my divine whore. You've earned that." I had the most incredible orgasm, but it was nowhere near over. "Fuck your little slut, Master," I beg. "Fuck me like a whore. I am your whore, Michael," I cried out. I felt his hard cock at the opening of my pussy. "Fuck me, Master. Fill your whore cunt with my beautiful cock," I begged. My pussy was so wet, and he was all the way in with a couple of gentle thrusts. Michael held up my hips and fucked me like he'd never been done before. Then he picked me up with his powerful arms and hands, holding my thighs apart without missing a stroke. I put my arm around his strong shoulders, and before I knew it, I was looking at myself getting fucked in the floor-ceiling mirror. For the first time, I watched myself getting fucked with his gorgeous cock sliding deeply in then out of my pussy. It was like watching myself in a porn movie. I kept calling out for him to fuck me more. And my former student gladly obliged my demands. After what seemed seconds in this wondrous vision, but it was actually about 10 minutes, Michael laid me on the bed on my back. Once again, I found myself instinctively opening my legs wide for my gorgeous, sexy young man. He licked me wondrously for a long while, as he always does. Then once again, I suddenly realized Michael had re-entered my pussy, his hard cock touching my cervix. He held himself up with his sexy, strong arms. I stroked them in his amazing chest as he was fucked me more. "Can you whore come again, please, Master?" I begged once more. "Yes, my beautiful slut, you may," he again said in his approval. With that, I had another intense, beautiful orgasm. I could feel my beautiful man was ready to come. "Your slut wants to wear your mark of ownership, Master. Come on your slut's face, Master. Make me pretty," I begged. "You are already beautifully pretty, my precious slut," he replied. "But yes, baby, I'll make you prettier as you ask." Michael then fucked me harder, and I could feel him tightening. He then jumped up, gently but with urgency, pulled me to the floor on his knees and held my head with one hand. I watched him stroke that glorious cock I'm so addicted to. Then suddenly ribbons of cum shot out of Michael's cock, and I felt it land on my face, over my forehead, nose, and mouth and cheeks. He seemed so careful to keep it out of my eyes. Just one of those little things he does that shows he cares for me and respects me, despite me being his little slut of this night. My master helped me to my feet and told me how beautiful I looked, wearing his glorious load. "Now, you truly own me, baby," I said with a beaming smile. Then Michael kissed my cum-covered face passionately, his face also getting covered in his own cum. We both kissed and licked Michael's cum off our faces and sucked it off our tongues. It was the most erotic, beautiful, passionate moments I've ever experienced. We then tidied ourselves up, dressed, and went down to the hotel bar for a drink of smelling of sex and cum. It turned us both on so much. After we went back to our room and made passionate love to me, it was beautiful, and I loved it. I'm well and truly now Michael's lover and absolutely his slut and whore when the moment takes us. And I've never been happier in my life. I can't describe how totally oblivious to the reality of life and the presence of the world I feel when I'm in my happy place on my gorgeous Michael's cock as either his sensuous lover or his playful slut and naughty little whore, Rose. Well, hello, Rose. Nice to hear from you again and your sensual, sexy, dominant master, younger student, you know, sex god, Adonis. How are we? Sounds like you guys are fulfilling lots and lots of things, and I love it very much so. And you're right. You're absolutely right. Though it's interesting when, you know, I talk to other people that have relationships in the kink world. And realistically, I don't like that word because we're all sexplorative here. So the way you might feel a connection with your master, it's kind of like, you know what I'm saying, that you know, when couples see their exes and they hear, well, they did da-da-da-da-da with that person, but you're like, well, they didn't do it with me. It's the whole chemistry and that's involved in it, the connection, the sexual lust. And, you know, sometimes you aren't sexually compatible in that fantasy with that person, but you might be with another person. That's why I think people in some ways do the lifestyle, but not necessarily always. Does that make sense? Not in my head, but it kind of did. Oh my goodness. So I love that you guys are doing this. I love that it's fulfilling you, but you're absolutely right. The way you closed with everything, once you're with that one, the one that, as I always say, can make my brain shut off, that's a great place to be. That's a hard place to find, especially with someone that you're so connected to. And I think that at the end of the day, that's all we really want, to land someone that shuts out that reality world for a moment. That, I mean, we know we all have to be in reality because you can't live in fantasy land. You know, that's why we go on vacations for that break, because it's away from the world, but you can't live there. You know, eventually the reality does creep into your fantasy world as well. So I say, keep it going, Rose. Sounds like you're a very naughty little whore of his, and I absolutely love it. Ladies and gentlemen, what would you do to find your happy place, your, like I said, shut your brain off, that for reality of life, even if it's just a moment? What takes you to that place? What have you not reached out to your partner, lover, or whatever we're calling them and say, hey, let's try this? I love the fact that Rose and her Michael, her master, have explored this, and they're exploring realms and connections that I think it's great for them. I love the fact that he's giving her direction. I love a man in control. It seems like he has a great control of the relationship and he balances it very well. So that seems like it's somewhat healthy. I'm not there. And again, I don't have the string of letters at the end of my name. So this is just an opinion based on a story that was sent to me. What got me though was when I was reading the fact that he told her when his presence that she couldn't wear any panties if she was in a skirt and dress, I absolutely did hear my lover. That is something my lover would say. And I would be like, all right, done. No panties. And it just, you have to speak to it. And I, in that moment, also, I'm also thinking, if any other guy would have said that to me, I would have been like, yeah, right. I'm wearing some panties. So again, it proves a point that it's the connection. I have that special connection with that person that makes me want to have the panties on or not, as he says. So if your person that you're connected to, or whatever we're calling them, if they said, when you wear this, or when we're doing this, I want you to do this, would you do it? Would you explore that realm with them? Even if it didn't take off, who knows? You could be saying no to something that could really open you guys up to something glorious. I'd really like to know. I think this is a perfect place to stop for the day. I want to thank you again for joining me. I know this is a late drop. It's been a really rough week again. And hence, as you can see, I'm not at Exotica. I'm finishing Wednesday's show up. If you're at Exotica, Cole, remember Cole and Miss Amanda are there as well. You have Bex, my business manager. So she is there running around for me. So take a selfie with her. Have her send it to me. She'll definitely love that. And in closing, hello, lover. Why don't we get in the back of a taxi? I promise not to wear any panties. You can explore me and my center any way you want. What do you think? I really want to know. And until next time, ladies and gentlemen, have a fabulous weekend.